Facing Life's Challenges with Godly Wisdom, Class 4, Making Time, Having the Energy to Serve. This week's comments include, I'm struggling with making time for service to others, and I often feel exhausted with daily life. How can I go about doing things like hosting people in my home and visiting the sick? How can someone be more involved in service, especially with the church, when they work a lot, maybe shift work or the weekends or out of town? Some times and seasons of life are more exhausting than others, and even faithful servants of God can get burnt out from time to time. What can we do biblically to make the time and have the energy to serve others and work in the local church? Consider these four suggestions. Number one, don't neglect your physical health. In 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4, Elijah has just defeated the prophets of Baal, and he is exhausted. The text says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent out a messenger to Elijah saying, So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah was done, and he had just come down from a very difficult and emotional circumstance where he had done exactly what he should have done in service to God and the people of Israel. So God has patience with him in the time following that. But Elijah couldn't remain in that exhausted, burnout state forever. There is work to be done in the kingdom. So what does God do first? Well, notice verses 5 through 8. And he, Elijah, lay down and slept under the broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. God created us, body, soul, and spirit. And we need to make sure that we are taking care of our physical bodies. It is harder for anyone to do what they need to do, to act right and serve others when they are tired, hungry, and discouraged. That doesn't excuse a bad attitude or absolve us of our responsibilities in regard to what God and others need us to do. But we are beings with a spirit and a body. And taking care of the body can put a stop to or even help prevent the spirit from acting out in ways it shouldn't or not acting when it should. Our physical bodies are designed by God to be amazing and resilient. But not taking care of our bodies takes a toll over time. Rest and nourishment are required. When we're burning the candle at both ends with work and kids and home projects and activities and hobbies and travel and fast food, it is no wonder that we feel too exhausted to serve others. So maybe start by considering, am I getting enough sleep? Am I eating right? Am I exercising? Am I drinking enough water? Am I getting outside sometimes? Is my body and mind equipped to serve? And then, number two suggestion, prioritize what's important, what the Bible calls redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16 says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that looks different at different stages of life. A single person with lots of undesignated time should take opportunities to study more, to go to gospel meetings, to help when called upon by brethren, and to visit the sick before the busier days might come. But that's tough to see and realize in the moment. Likewise, a mom and dad working together to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord shouldn't feel guilt that they're hosting others in their home less often than before. What they're doing is service to others and to Christ. It is kingdom work of a different kind. but that's tough to realize in the moment. The real question for all of us at every stage of life is, are we filling our lives so full of things that matter less that we don't have time for the things that matter most right now? Are we prioritizing spiritual things, specifically service to others, the way that we should? Jesus made service a priority, even in times and in ways we would not expect, and he asked us to do the same. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the text says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Jesus' mind, heart, and schedule could not have been more full of things. What did Jesus have to be thinking about? Well, he was coming off a week's worth of intensive teaching and controversy after 3.5 years of public ministry. His pending death and all the suffering involved in it was imminent. He knew that Judas, one of the ones whose feet he washed, was going to betray him. He knew what his apostles would do in the days that would follow, good and bad. And he knew all that they needed to be taught and reminded of before his death. He had all of that in his mind and on his plate, and he still took the time, made the time, to wash their feet, to serve, and to leave them an example of service. The text continues in verses 12 through 17. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. As I have done, Jesus says, you do things like this," not do exactly as I have done. We do things like what he has done. We follow his example. "So would you be willing to wash someone's feet that were dirty? Of course you would be. But do we do things for others that are humbling, that are inconvenient, that get our hands dirty, that put us out in some way with our time or our money or our effort?" This feet washing by Jesus seemingly didn't make a dent that night, but it certainly did later on as they thought back to what Jesus had done for them. And it's interesting to me. Jesus didn't ask if they wanted him to do this or needed this to do this for them. He just did it. And we need to also be actively seeking to serve rather than just waiting to be asked. We need to see a need and fill a need, because nothing is beneath us. And I may have other roles to fulfill, but I am willing to fulfill any role. In this and in every way, we should, number three, imitate Jesus in our service. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind is Paul talking about? Well, it's the same mind that is described in the preceding four verses, that Jesus is the ultimate example of humility and service to others. Those verses say, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind, the mind of humility and service, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to esteem others better, that is, more significant than ourselves. And we see that with Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, disciples, you're all better than me. I'm not worthy. That's why I'm washing your feet. He didn't create some altered reality where he wasn't greater than them. Instead, he placed their needs above his own, even on the night when he would be betrayed. Jesus acknowledged the reality that he was Lord and Master, yet he still served and placed the needs of others above his own, even to the death on a cross. Jesus did all this because our interests, yours and mine, were more important than his. So, the fourth suggestion to service is go and do likewise. Jesus has an unrivaled ability to highlight the truth and heart of a matter, even to those who were disinclined to see it. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus responds to a lawyer's self-justifying question of who is my neighbor with a beautiful parable commonly known as the Good Samaritan. The parable forces that lawyer to admit that he does, in fact, know what neighborly actions look like. But this theoretical admission is not enough for Jesus. In verse 37 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus says to him, you go and do likewise. Similarly for us, it is not enough to know we need to be working more in service to others or in the local church. We need to ask, what can I do? And then go and do likewise. If I were always looking for ways to work in my community, in my neighborhood, in my local congregation, if I were always looking to go and do, what would change? How would our lives and service be different, be better than what they are now? With this admonition of Jesus in mind, here are seven people and places to which we can go to help us know what to do. Number one, go to someone you admire for their service to others and in the church and ask, how do you do it? How did your service change at different times in your life? How do you find places to serve? It is no accident that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two and that Paul, Barnabas, and others almost always traveled in groups when preaching the gospel. Service is easier when done with someone else and when learned from someone else, even as Paul talks about with Titus, and the older women teaching the younger women, the older men teaching the younger men. Number two, go to the Keeping in Touch email that we get on Sundays and Wednesdays and refer to that maybe after Bible study or worship services. You can get a lot of good ideas on what to do and where to serve from that list. Information is given on the sick and those who are in need of prayers. And we can find ways to help because these are in need of our service. Number three, go to the deacons or their wives and ask, what can I do for someone's physical needs? Is there someone that I can go and help? Can I help you with your work? Is there someone with whom I can work? Can I rake a yard or sit with a widow or go to the hospital or rehab facility and visit? Can I be put on the list to write cards to visitors? These deacons can help point you in the right direction. Number four, go to one of the elders or their wives and ask, what can I do for someone's spiritual needs? Is there someone I can study with or pray with or encourage? Is there someone I can adopt who is struggling to fit in or stay committed or stay faithful? The elders can help point you in the right direction. Number five, go to one of the preachers and ask, can you come and study with my family and some of our friends? A great way for us to open new doors for the gospel is to work in the lives of people and invite them into our home to study the Bible together. This informal environment is less threatening to some and allows for more questions, discussion, and clarification than even a Sunday service would. Our evangelists, our elders, and some of our members, too, are willing and eager to engage in such studies. Number six, go to one of the Bible class teachers and request, maybe even beg, maybe insist to help them in their classes. Perhaps you can sign up to teach yourself. But if you do not feel comfortable doing so, ask to help a teacher, whether it's running copies or preparing lessons or helping with classroom management on Sundays and Wednesdays. There are things that you can do to help in Bible teaching. Number 7, go to the gatherings, all the gatherings that you can when you can. Now, that's worship services and Bible classes, but also Bible studies and devotionals and group meetings outside of our regular assemblies. Those gatherings, hosted by our members outside of these regular service times, are helpful to us in finding places to serve. Maybe you could even host one of those gatherings in your home. But perhaps sometimes we skip these occasions because they're not required, or we don't see the benefit for us or our children. But they are as much for others and what can be accomplished in the lives of others as they are for our own edification. We learn about others, we get closer to them, and we see their needs, because there is much that can be done in service to others, even among our brethren. So, here are some questions to think about before class this Sunday. Number 1, what are some of the duties and roles and responsibilities to be done in the local church? I'll have a list on Sunday that I've used before to give some ideas, but think about, does my time and life, does my schedule lend itself to any of these more than others? What are some ways, perhaps, that I can use a non-traditional schedule to serve in different ways in the church? Number 2, what have been your busiest times in your life, and how did you handle those times? Number 3, how did you prioritize and perform service to others in those different seasons of life? Number 4, how do you keep from exhausting yourself in those seasons? Number 5, who is someone you admire for their service and hospitality? Share their name with the group this Sunday as someone who can be asked about how they serve and how we can serve like them. Number 6, what does service and involvement in the church look like outside of the regular worship assemblies? And number 7, what does foot washing look like today in a practical sense? May God bless us as we face life's challenges with godly wisdom.